To invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning. If you'd like to use a pew Bible, go ahead and do that. If you have an insert, you can grab that. There is a card in there that we'll be looking at a little bit later, so you can refer to that later on. If you need to put it off to the side so it doesn't fall out and go under the pew, you can go ahead and do that. Before we begin this morning, just want to share with you just an item of just praise to God that took place this past week. We've been praying as a staff, and others have been praying as well, for God to continue to work in the life of the Martinez family after the service for Michelle, and had the opportunity to speak to some family members. And this week in particular, Michelle's husband Bert came in. He's come in a couple times, and really with the help of my good friend Dave Rodriguez leading it in Spanish, God opened up Bert's heart on Wednesday night, and he gave his life to Christ. And that was just unbelievable. And I was thinking, I need someone who's willing and able to do some discipling in Spanish. And so I've looked at Dave a few times, but now I've really put you on the spot. So, all right then. That is just awesome. And I don't think God's done with this family. I really don't. And that's just an amazing thing. And you say, well, when you look at what happened, and some people view it as a tragedy and such a young person, leaving this world, I understand that. But please understand that some of the things that God's doing right now, Michelle wanted to happen and knew probably wouldn't happen until she was with Jesus. And so that's just something for you to be praying for, and for the seed to continue to grow in his life, and for others to respond as well. So that just, it's an awesome thing. Last week, we started a series called Focus. And if you're here, I had my chair here. You got in for your eye exam, and we had some time. We spent some time looking at our vision, and we're going to do that again today. And when I say focus as our series, we've decided to talk about what we consider things that we should focus on that matter the most. Focusing on the things that really matter the most. Because for you and for me, we have one life. One life, and how we focus that life really is important. And we have a vision here for our church. Not only for our church, but anyone who attends, we have a vision for our church. Here's the vision that the Bible has set for us. More and better disciples. You're going to hear that over and over again in this series, and that's on purpose. I want each person who is a member and regularly attends here, that if anybody was to ask you, what's your church all about? I want you to say, more and better. More and better disciples. And you should be able to maybe explain that a little bit, but we'll get to that process as we move along. More and better disciples is our 2020 vision for this church and for you and I as individuals. However, we realized, and we talked about last week, that in order to have something come into focus, to see our vision clearly, we need the proper lens. And within those lenses, we also need the right prescription. So last week, we began by looking at lens number one, which was pursue spiritual maturity and what makes up that prescription. We identified several what we called maturity markers that made up the prescription for this lens, that if you are trying to live out some of these markers or they're evident in your life, then you can be saying, I'm pursuing spiritual maturity. If not, we need to be willing. Let's be willing to say, God, continue to prompt me in the areas where I'm not pursuing spiritual maturity. Because the goal is to become a better disciple. That's the goal, to become a better disciple as we pursue spiritual maturity. And I just want to again highlight how God's at work in our church. One of the maturity markers last week that we mentioned was having the right attitude in trials. That's a sign of maturity. Well, I had someone come into my office just last week who shared with me some very real and significant and what would seem like dire health news. The tests did not come back very good. Actually, they were very bad. But in the midst of that, that person sat in my office and said, God is God, I'm not, and I'm going to follow his lead. And I looked right at him, her, and said, maturity. You're showing me some maturity. And I'm encouraged. Is it easy? No. Is it going to get harder? Maybe, but it's a sign of maturity. And that lens, as we have that prescription of maturity, it helps us to see more clearly the idea of more and better disciples. So pursuing spiritual maturity is about growing your faith. Lens number two is about supporting your faith. So we're back in the chair now. Lens number two, the lens necessary to bring about God's vision of better disciples into focus for you and to me this morning. Lens number two is this: connect with other believers. Connect with other believers. Now here's the danger. Some of you are like, man, I can close my insert right now. I can close my Bible because look at me, I'm here. Nice try. It is not that simple, but that is lens number two. In order to be a better disciple, you and I need to be living in connection or community with other believers. And we're going to show you how the Bible teaches that. Now, in our context, connection can take place through formal events like church or like date night. Connection can also take place through informal contact that you have with other people from the church in other ways. I get that. And those things are valuable. But for us, as a leadership, the pastoral staff, and as we have been praying about and talking about for many, many years, for us, the most effective way for you to experience connection is through community groups. It's through community groups. So this morning is about examining that lens. The lens is connect with other believers. And here's the prescription for that lens: community groups. Now, again, the danger is I've already tuned some of you out. Please turn it back on and just listen. I want to make some what I call opening comments about community groups. Just some comments, not going to be on the screen or anything, but I think they're important before we kind of dive right into this. Number one, community groups are foundational to our church. They have been strategically chosen as a ministry for our church, and they are a pillar of our church. Whether you buy into them or not, they have been strategically chosen as a ministry of our church. And because of that, we're looking for ways to consistently improve and kind of tweak our community groups. But I'm telling you right now, as in the near and distant future, community groups in our church are not a fad. And they're not a sacred cow that needs to be sacrificed. They're not going away, folks. That's how important we think they are. So that's one comment. Here's a second comment to set the foundation for this morning. Let me talk to you a little bit about community group involvement in our church. Last fall, less than 40% of adults that attend our church attended a community group. That is disappointing. Growing up, I would rather have my mom be mad at me rather than disappointed. So I'm not mad at you, but I'm disappointed with us as a church and as our leadership because we feel like this is not helping us to become better disciples. Less than 40%. So that's just something to be aware of. And it's real simple. I know it's awkward, but it's real simple. Here's how you know if you have the lens or not. Either you're in a group or you're not. Okay? If you're not in a group, you're not wearing the lens. And if you're in a group, is that simple enough? And if you're in a group, I think you'll be moving towards being a better disciple. If you're not in a group, you're probably not supporting your faith to the best level, the best way possible. So here's the next comment, because I know it's like that awkward. Some of you got that awkward look already on your face. Okay, here we're going to keep moving. Let me talk about community group enforcement. Yeah, enforcement. There are a lot of reasons why people don't come to community groups. The good news for you is I'm going to talk about a lot of them at the end. Yay. I'm the only one that says that. That's why I do it for myself. Yay. But I will tell you this. I have never, ever in all my time here or ever in pastoral ministry been about strong-arming people. I don't think it's effective. I'm not here to strong-arm anybody. But I do want you to know this. It is the will of God to take the Word of God through the Spirit of God to make the people of God more like the Son of God. So as we interact with the concept of community, I'm just asking you to allow the Spirit of God to maybe work on your heart a little bit about where you are with this lens. And if there's a little bit of pushback, maybe you and the Spirit can have it out. Because he usually wins. Not always, because it says we can quench the Spirit. But, so I'm not here to strong arm you, I'm just asking you to listen and allow God to move. And the reason why I say this statement about it being the will of God to take the word of God, because I believe strongly that there is a biblical basis for community groups. The Bible makes a compelling case for the importance of the type of connection that's found in community groups. It really does. So I want to just take you on a brief journey with your Bibles open with me and talk a little bit about community. Is community even in the Bible? Is the idea of just being together with people even in the Bible? Well, I believe it is. Here's the first thing. God exists in community. God exists in community. After you write that down, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have a Bible, turn there with me. If you're using your pew Bible, the page number is there. But 2 Corinthians 13, I would love to hear you turning to that particular passage. God exists in community. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. This would be considered like a benediction at the end of this book written by the Apostle Paul. And he says this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You have some space there in your insert if you have one. I want you to write down a word. It's not going to be on the screen because on purpose I wanted you to practice writing it. I'd like you to write the word Trinity. If you're looking for spelling help, just share with the person next to you. That'd be fine. Trinity. Write down the word Trinity. This verse affirms the Trinity. And the Trinity is an important doctrine to us as a church. As a matter of fact, most cults deny the Trinity. You want to know if something's a cult or not? Ask them about the Trinity. The people that come to your door riding the bicycles, ask them about the Trinity. God is in relationship as three persons of one substance, power, and eternity. Same in essence, different in function. Listen, acting independently and interdependently together. Three other words I'd like you to write down. You know what the Trinity is. Write it down just for my sake. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is in three distinct individuals, or is three distinct individuals. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And throughout the Bible, there's this wonderful relationship of the Trinity. We call it the Godhead. So in essence, you know what happens here? God exists in community. The verse that's behind me. Notice this. Notice the gospel and relationship in this verse. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, who's the God of love, how did God show his love most succinctly? Through Jesus Christ. So the God the Father, who is God, the God of love, sent Jesus Christ, who also is God, and Jesus, because he died, became the grace that we needed, and he could only be that grace because he is God. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus says that he promises the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who is God. They all work together. That's why sometimes I will correct people and try to do it gently. God the Father did not die on the cross. Jesus the Son did. And Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to indwell us, not God the Father. Why is that all important? Because they all exist in relationship, in community. And I know that the Trinity is hard to understand. I'm not going to try to give you an example of an egg or an orange or whatever, you know, the way people try to do that. But I will tell you this. In its most simplest form, the Trinity tells me that God is not an isolated and rogue God that goes it alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He exists in community. He exists in community. So that sets the stage for, does that matter with his creation? I would say yes. So number one, God exists in community. Number two, God established community. God established community. Pew Bible, I just wrote it down because it's easy for me to remember and for you. Page 2, if you'd like to use your Pew Bible, The rest of you, Genesis chapter 2. Page 2, Genesis chapter 2. God established community. And here's what's happened. We've turned things upside down in this way. Whenever God comes up with an idea, we think we can come up with a better one. Or we try to tweak God's idea. And what happens is, it doesn't work out well. Take any example of something that God said was good and he created, and then we try to tweak it or change it, we mess it up. And the same thing goes for community. We somehow got the idea that community really isn't that important and that, you know, we don't really need people. But listen to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And I will tell you right away, I understand the main context of this is Adam and Eve, you know, marriage, men and women. But that's not the sole context of this. It's showing us that right from the beginning, God established relationships and community. He did. It is not, I highlight, it's not good for people to be alone. Here's the reason why. We were created for relationships. We were created for relationships. Now, some of you in this room are on the one end of the spectrum for relationships. You're like, oh, bring all the people on. Others, maybe like the hermit mentality. I get it. But I will say this. Inside of everybody's DNA, so to speak, that God has placed in every person is the need for relationships. You may define it or express it differently, but everybody needs relationships. In the year 2000 released movie Castaway, FedEx executive Chuck Nolan, played by Tom Hanks, is washed ashore on a deserted island after being the sole survivor of a plane crash. The movie chronicles his four-year isolated existence on the island. And in a desperate desire for companionship, Nolan creates a friend from a volleyball washed ashore as part of the wreckage from the plane. The volleyball is ironically named Wilson and becomes his only friend. The movie was a favorite for lots of people. The way we know that, at least initially, is through the box office. It cost $90 million to make, and it grossed over $400 million. So a lot of people liked that movie. But a lot of people hated that movie. You know, I don't know why they hated it. There are a number of reasons. One prominent reason why people hated that movie kind of struck me. They hated it because the majority of the movie centered around one person, and there was no ever other human interaction. They couldn't stand it. Maybe 5, 10 minutes, 45 minutes. Come on, there's got to be somebody else. And then he brings out Wilson. What? And people hated it. They're like, oh, what is going on? And I live with a few people who couldn't watch that movie because they were just overwhelmed by that absence of other people. What are you watching? Well, he's all by himself. This is terrible. And who is he talking to? Well, it's a volleyball. And why does that bother us? It bothers us because we were created for relationships. We are created for relationships. Absolutely. As human beings, we are created in the image of God, which includes we are structured by and for relationships. This is why they created solitary confinement in prisons. It's not a benefit or a reward. It's a punishment to be locked up by yourself for a length of time with no human interaction. It's a punishment. It's discipline because deep down we were created for relationships, established by God for community. I get it. There are times when we need to be alone. There are times when I want to be alone. But I am not designed or created to be by myself permanently or long-term basis. I will not be a better disciple if I isolate myself, because I was created for relationships. Same thing with you. No man or woman in this room is an island. And in order to be a better disciple, we don't need a village to raise us. We need a community group. See how I worked that in there? God exists in community. God established community. Here's a third thing that's found very clearly in the Bible about community. God endorses community. He endorses community. I firmly believe that God would endorse connecting with other believers through things like community groups or small groups because they facilitate the supporting of your faith. I think it's found in Scripture. God endorses it through texts that are found in the Bible. But there's also examples. Jesus didn't just spend time with large groups. He also spent time with the disciples in smaller groups, because that was an important time to support their faith. I want you to see a couple texts that really show God endorsing community. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Turn there with me if you would. We're going to say this verse together, so you can use the screen text if you'd like, but I'd like you to turn there with me. Because, again, if you maybe make notes in your Bible, maybe next to this verse you might want to write this one word, community. Community. God endorses community. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. All right, look up here with me if you would, and let's say it together. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. God endorses community. When iron is rubbed against another piece of iron, it shapes and sharpens it. Community groups have the awesome potential of sharpening and supporting your faith to be a better disciple, and it happens through connecting with other believers. They have that potential. They really do. How does it work in a community group? Well, thank you for asking. Community groups will challenge you. Challenge you. What I mean by that is our community groups, for the most part, are sermon-based. So as you listen to the sermon this morning, or if you're not able to be here and you listen to it online and you go to a community group, it's not an additional Bible study that you have to prepare for or worry about. You don't have all the answers. You go to community group and we talk about the sermon. And we go a little bit deeper in talking about the content of the sermon, about the idea of community and how important it is. And as you do that, it challenges you and helps you grow in your faith. Because the Bible makes it really clear. People that are supported through the knowledge of God's word are less likely to fall away. And that happens through community group challenging you. Community groups will also change you. They have the ability to change you. Here's why. Because in our community groups, we have application discussions. We talk about, how am I going to apply this? Do we do it in a forceful and scary and strong-armed way? No, I don't think so. But our goal in community groups is not just to give you more knowledge. It's about, how are you going to use what you have been given? Is that biblical? I think so. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So community groups will challenge you. They will change you. And here's the one you're not going to like, but I'm going to say it anyways. They may confront you at times. Now, don't think of like a group intervention. Is that what I'm talking about? But you might get close to some people in your group spiritually, like walking life with them. And they don't see you in church for a while. And they call you and say, we miss you, or I miss you. Where are you? None of your business. Okay. But I'm calling you because I care about you. The average person in the pew that doesn't even know who you are, they're not going to call you. But a community group person might, because they care about you, and they may confront you. A couple weeks ago, I reminded our community group about the need for this and how that's important. As you get deeper in your group, it becomes a little bit easier to do that. I have given permission on a few occasions to my community group, especially the men in my community group. I've given them permission. If you hear or get wind of the fact that I'm not treating Pam right, or your wife says, you know, he's been kind of nasty to her, or doesn't speak kindly to her. If you hear that, you come talk to me. You challenge me on that. You confront me on that. Really? Yes. Why? Because if no one has the ability or the privilege of coming alongside of me and doing that, guess what? I'm going rogue. And I'm allowed to, right? Because I'm the pastor. No. And if your sole reason for not joining a community group is because you never want somebody to encourage you in your faith, then we've got deeper issues. But they have that ability. Iron sharpens iron. Challenge, change, confront. And when all those things happen, you know what happens in your life and in my life? You become a better disciple. Another text that endorses this is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you have struggle finding that, it's just the next book over. If you're in Proverbs, next book over, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And verse 12. Solomon, who was considered a pretty wise person, is the one who wrote this verse. He said this, "The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands," excuse me, "is not quickly broken." Our community groups, I believe, are endorsed by God because they support the idea of sharing life together. Sharing life together. I want to give you one more word as it relates to community group endorsement, and the word is care. Care. Our community groups seek to care for each other through the good times and the bad times, the triumphs and the tragedies. And that's part of what God endorses. Two are better than one. A vibrant, caring small group is better than walking this hard time by yourself. You will be a better disciple as you allow groups to do that. How does that happen in community group? Well, specifically, many community groups pray for each other. We like to throw out texts during the week to each other, prayer requests, and encouraging each other. I was encouraged as I texted our community group about Bert coming to faith in Christ, and then all these texts coming back. Oh, praise God, the angels are singing. Woo, yes. No, just really, break it down this way. If I'm living in isolation from community, who am I texting? Who? Yay. Community groups sometimes provide meals or just a deeper sense of connecting than happens at church. Because we need to be thinking about care in this way. Right now, we have a pretty large flock in this room. There is no way possible that each of you can care for each other the way that God has designed in this big of a flock. And there's another flock coming the next hour. So you know what we need? Little flocks. Did he just say he wants a smaller church? Yes. Community groups. And I'm also here to tell you, as lovingly as I can, that in order for this church to continue to grow, Rex and I can't do the care. We can do some of the care, but we need you to do the care. And what's the best avenue, the most practical avenue for care? You know what I'm going to say. Community groups. It's the way it is. And think of it this way. If we are not part of a group or some kind of caring setting, we are robbing other people of the privilege and opportunity to minister to us. There may be somebody right now who's ready to make a meal. They're just looking for someone. God exists in community. He established community. He endorses community. And one final thing about community before we move to reasons why we're not in it is God expects community. Again, this is what happens with the scripture and the truth that God gives us. We often think, okay, that's a good idea, but I'm going to tweak it or I'm going to change it. Don't do that. So God comes up with this idea of community. He establishes it. He says it's a good thing. And now what he says is, because it's such a good thing, I expect you to do it. One final verse I'll just read for you. John chapter 13. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples, followers of Christ. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you live life by yourself. Oh, is that a different translation? Okay. But this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Those two words that I bolded, I want you to write them down in your insert if you don't mind. Those two words, one another. One. I know sometimes you think, you're just kind of talking here. But think of it. One another requires another. I know that's really deep. One another requires another. Community groups give you the opportunity to meet another. And I'm even saying a different another than the person that you maybe live with, your spouse or your kids. By this, everyone will know. There are over 50 one another commands that God has placed in the New Testament alone that he has said clearly should be expressed and exercised through the body of Christ. And what better and more practical way to do that than through community groups? In community groups, you pray for one another. You encourage one another. You are kind and compassionate to one another. You prefer one another. And these things go on and on. And it can happen in other places. But if you want to practice some one another's, just kind of really in a very practical way, join a community group. Join a community group. And the practice of the one another's that God has put in his word are not suggestions. They're commands. So in order for you and I to be a better disciple, we need to connect with other believers and practice our one another's, and God expects us to do that. Let me just read this quote from a guy named Howard Macy. He says, "Christian community is simply sharing a common life in Christ. It moves us beyond the self-interested isolation of private lives and beyond the superficial social context that passed for Christian fellowship, church dinners. The biblical idea of community challenges us instead to commit ourselves to life together as the people of God." So despite the biblical basis and spiritual benefits of connecting with other believers, we have less than 40% of our adults involved in community groups. And we think that this is important to becoming a better disciple. We believe that in order to focus on being a better disciple, we need the lens of connecting through the prescription of community groups. So why the disconnect? Why the disconnect? Now, I'm going to have you, if you have an insert on the back, you can flip to the back if you want, because you're going to write one more word in just a moment. But if you need to do that, right at the top. Based on many, many years of ministry and observation about small groups, I came up with, in my mind, with some reasons why people don't attend community group. Okay? And so I'm not going to have you write them down because there's quite a few of them, but I want you to do this with me as we kind of work our way towards the end here. Write down what I consider to be the best one-word response to all these reasons. Here's the word: conversation. You're like, huh? Well, good. Write it down and I'll explain it. I wouldn't just leave it like that. Here's the one word which I think is one of the best responses to the reasons why people don't go to community group, and I'll help you with it. There are two categories in my mind of reasons why people don't go to community group. The first one is internal reasons. I call these heart reasons, and I think you'll understand once I give some of the reasons why. They're heart reasons, internal reasons. Number one, I don't really like people. I I love it when I say something like that, and the people who are like that look straight ahead. Those that are around them and go, yeah, that's you. Number two, I don't like new things. Number three, I don't like opening up in front of people. Number four, I'm too busy. Number five, I don't need anybody else in my life. Number six, my spouse won't go. Number seven, Sunday morning is my community group. And then number eight, community group is only for needy people. You're right, but so those are some of the what I call internal reasons why people don't go to community group. And here's why I think conversation is the best response for these reasons, and I'll give you a little add-on to that. If one of those reasons or the reasons why you don't go to community group, here's the first thing you need to do. You need to have a conversation with God. Because if you really don't like people, I'm not going to try to argue out of that, but I think you need to have a conversation with God about not liking people. If you think you don't need anybody else in your life, I don't need to tell you that. I think you need to have a conversation with God. So start with that. Heart issues, start with a conversation with God. Let him work on you a little bit. You're like, that's not fair. It's absolutely fair. But then there's a second category. I call them external reasons why people don't go to community group. And these are kind of logistic or detailed reasons why. Number one, I need child group. Number two, I don't know that much about the Bible. Number three, I'm still exploring my faith journey. Number four, I tried a small group once in the past, but it was a disaster. Or the church doesn't offer a group where I live, or on a night of the week, I'm available. I don't think you offer a group based on my season of life, or I'm really new here at Bible Baptist Church. I consider those external kind of detailed reasons. I get it. One-word response. Here's what you need to do. If one of those reasons are reasons why you're not in the community group, here it is. Ready? You need to have a conversation with Rex. Seriously. Now, he's in here, and this is not the first time I'm saying it. You need to have a conversation with Rex. So we're going to do some next steps here, okay? Here's some next steps related to this thing that we're talking about connecting. If you're in a community group, keep in the community group and recruit and promote and encourage people. Secondly, if you're part of that first group of reasons, you need to have a conversation with God this week. If you're in that second group of reasons, you need to take out the card right now that's in your bulletin or in the pew rack. Do it right now. And I'm asking you to do this. I'm not asking everybody to do it, but I'd like a few people because I want to keep Rex busy this week. If you're one of those people that has a reason in the second group where you're like, I would like one where I live or I need childcare, I would like you right now to fill in your name and your phone number and your email. Do it right now. Stop looking at me. Write down your name, your phone number, and your email, because in just a moment, we're going to collect those. And all those names are going to be given to Rex. And when you fill that card out, you are not signing up for a community group. You're simply going to have a conversation with Rex. And I've been told, and I think it's true, he's a much better listener than I am. So have at it. So again, it's nice that I can say it. Stop looking at me, because if less than 40% are not in the community group, then a lot of you in this room need to have conversations, either with God or with Rex or both. So you're filling them out? Put your name down there. Okay, this is that awkward moment where, you know, hey, everybody, it's like a pledge drive. Here we go. All right, I'm going to give you like 10 more seconds. All right, do you have guys on the outside too? No? Oh, I got you. All right, so pass them down to the inside aisle. I got people, the guys are going to collect them. Please? that'd be great. Oh, here we go. This is awesome. Man, he's going to need to work overtime this week. That's cool. All right, Carolyn, you can take all the lights off. I want to end with just some brief videos here, because the question on the table is this. Do community groups really make a difference in our church with real people to make them better disciples? I say yes, but I think you might want to watch and listen for yourself.
Hi, I'm Mike Barnes, and I'd like to talk a little bit about community groups. I've been in a community group, my wife and I, for almost since they've started, and the impact they've had is just unbelievable. We've been blessed with such a good group that it doesn't matter what season you're in, whether it's a positive one or a negative one, community groups are such a support group that it's somebody in a group, like family group, that you can depend on. And it's such a great way to get into the Word a little more deep, the things we gain on Sunday mornings. So it's just great relationships, good time, social time, but a great way to get into the Word in a little more depth.
I'm Vince Pilato, and I'm a part of one of the community groups with Jay in this church. Hesitated quite a bit before I joined one, because I'm normally a very closed individual. I don't like people getting close to me. With this group and with these groups, I just want to open up. I get so close to these people. They invite me to be so close, and they allow me to choose my own amount of closeness. I feel closer to these people. I will open up to them more than I've ever opened up to anybody. This group is family to me, and it's a whole new separate sort of love, and it supports so much what I think about verses in the Bible. It's not quoting verses for the sake of memorizing words. It's verses and what they mean, what was the events up to the verse being written, what it means. And I'm a high supporter of these community groups. I feel very well fed. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
For me, community groups meant a lot. This has actually been my first time being in community group at Rex and Kathy's house. And it's been pretty amazing. It's connecting with others. It's having the opportunity to talk about Jesus with people when maybe you don't have that on the outside. And it's a good time to be with good people and have good food.
I think what's great about community group is that the leaders are really good at placing you with people who are in a similar season in your life. So either newly married or about to be married or young and whatever group you fit in. So these people are going through life the way my husband and I are. New and fairly early believers, and just come together to grow.
I think for me, when I first joined a community group, I was kind of on the fringe of just starting my walk in faith, and then it kind of helped change Sodus Bible Baptist from the church that I was going to into my church. So that was a nice, very nice change.
It's great if you're new to the church. Way, kind of an informal way to connect with other believers, get to know other people, and then when you see them at church, you can be like, hey, I know you.
So if you're not part of a community group, take this as an example and become part of one so that you can connect with other people. You can have people who support you through good times and bad times, and who you feel like you can connect with and be comfortable with them.
Hi, my name is Paul Heilman. My wife Brenda and I and my daughter Sophie have been coming to the church now for a few years. And a couple of years ago, we were asked to join a small group. And I'm not really an outgoing people person, but and so I was actually a little concerned. I'm thinking, is this going to be like some sort of creepy self-help group? But I thought, you know, as we've been getting closer and closer to the church, we probably should give it a try. And we did, and I thought one of the greatest things of all is that I didn't feel like I had to, you know, be over, participate too much or anything else like that. And, you know, over the past couple of years, I've gotten to know some of these people, and they've become my dearest friends. And, you know, through some tough times, especially as my wife's father's been ill, we've been able to rely on them for prayers and to reach out at some of the hardest and some of the best times of our lives. And they've just been awesome. I highly recommend you join
a small group, you'd be worth every second you spend with them.
Hi, I'm Fran Steitler, and I'm a member of our community group here at Bible Baptist, and we don't have a lot of family in the area, and this is our family and our close friends here. What I appreciate about community groups is that, you know, if something is bothering me or I have a prayer request, I just pick up the phone or text my group, and we can have immediate prayer support. You know, we are family, and I feel very close to these people, and we are serving the Lord together, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's very meaningful to me myself. And I know Jay wanted me to talk because he wants to make fun of how I talk. So that's just part of it too. You know, we just make fun and we have a good time. And I just love these people. And if you're not in a community group, you need to be, because you need people. You need that bond together. And we have a pretty tight group, and we'd like anybody to come and join us. So thanks a lot.
All right. You can bring the lights up, Carolyn. Community group leaders that are in the room, come on up, if you would. We're going to end this way, and just want you to see that there are real people. That just some examples of some of our community group leaders that are here. And so, Kathy, come on. Sorry, you don't know that I'm saying to Kathy, come on. Yeah.
Speak for a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
We didn't get to do a video in our group. Unfortunately, weather and sicknesses prevented that. But our group is like an extended family. We've walked through this journey of life together with the Lord. Tons of prayer, death of family members, birth of children, countless sicknesses, work-related things. Without them, life would be a lot more challenging. So I do appreciate community groups, and I highly recommend you try to find one that will meet your needs.
All right. So why don't you stand with us? I'm going to have Rex close us in prayer. Thank you for your time this morning. And if you didn't get access to one of those cards and you'd like to add to his workload this week, you certainly can contact the church office as well. I'm going to have him close in prayer because he's going to need it. All right? So go ahead and do that.